entertain? Are you not entertained?
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
You're listening to the French Press Podcast, where we discuss events from our lives. Welcome to the French Press Podcast. This is episode 110. We've been in triple digits now for the 10th time, and it feels like the first time. I'm happy to be here, and finally, after, I don't know, it's true that Leighton and I have been absent, or the podcast in general has been absent, but even beyond that, someone else has been more absent, and he's with us here today, in studio, Mr. Eric Troyer.
Back by unpopular demand. It has been a few weeks since I.
It has been. I'm sure that you've listened to all the previous episodes. You're all caught up on all the jargon that's been discussed and whatnot. Probably. Do you have any questions about Blake and Chris?
I actually haven't listened to.
I know, but it was a trick question anyway because it was actually Christian.
Okay, I thought Chris. You might be offended. So
I was going to say it. You don't call Chris.
But it is going to be back. Leighton, what is today?
Today is Monday, July 20th, 2015.
And something to get out of the way right away is that we have decided that Leighton needs to upgrade his recording equipment because it's just been a little bit of a hindrance to the overall success of the podcast.
His voice isn't...
I don't understand. Why is it a problem if I sound like I'm recording with a toaster? What is the problem with that? I don't understand.
Just ask some of the listeners, and
have we been getting bad feedback?
I can specifically think of one instance. Yes.
Okay. Wait. One instance where like somebody said something, or an instance where like a lot of people voiced their displeasure about my mic.
In one instance where one person mentioned something. Anyway,
okay, how significant was this person?
Everybody is equally important, Leighton. I mean, every voice matters.
No, they're not. No, they're not, Ruben.
Anyway, this has gone on long enough. Let's jump into it. We did have some interesting things that we teased last week. Specifically, that Mennonites are not good at receiving thanks. If someone tells Eric Troyer, Eric, you did a great job on repairing my car.
Oh, anybody could have done that. I just, you know.
You're such a good Mennonite, Eric. So, Leighton, do you kind of are heading up that segment. Do you want to do that now, or do you want to save that for a little bit later?
We can do it now,
I have a feeling like that's probably the thing most people are interested in.
Yeah, they're just salivating over it. Because they want to know how Mennonites really are.
They do.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so I was going to go into, like, just basically say, like, the different ways that Mennonites, like, divert taking credit for something. But rather than just simply stating how they do it, I sent you, Ruben, a list of examples, kind of like dialogue, okay? And we're going to go with our little Mennonite Bob. Let's say he's a part of the BMA church. Which is just
BMA. Why are we picking on BMA? I would go Midwest Conference.
All right, he's beachy. he's a Mennonite. All right, and he's a construction worker. All right, he's a self-employed construction worker. Okay,
very cliche. Yes.
Basically, this is these are like some things that are being said to him. From like his church, like people that go to his church.
And now, if Bob represents a person in real life or replicate or I don't know the word to say, it's purely coincidence.
A stereotype.
Yes, but if you think it's someone in real life, it's
strictly coincidence.
Yes,
yeah.
thank you for that.
See, you did say it.
This is why I shouldn't be on the podcast.
You said it. I just had to reiterate it for you.
Just a little disclaimer.
Are you ready for me to read off those statements, Leighton?
Yeah, start at number 5.
All right, number 5. Wow, Bob, it looks like your construction business is really taking off.
Yeah, all I do is build houses anymore. Oh, I have no time for family or for just enjoying God's creation. Oh, that was number 1, or that's number 5. And if you couldn't tell, number five is that a Mennonite gets out of taking credit for something. He says, make a gift that God has given you seem like a curse. That's number five.
I like it.
Okay. Go on to number four.
Thank you so much for helping me build my house yesterday, Bob.
Yeah, that was just, I mean, okay, well, do you remember that one time when we were in school and you shared half of your peanut butter jelly sandwich with me? Well, I figured I just still owed you for that, so I built you a house. So number four of how a Mennonite gets out of taking credit, you make the thanker think that you owed them something in the first place.
What do you think? What is the underlying reason that we do that?
What?
Why do we feel like we have to be paying back something?
Because we feel like if we take credit for something we actually did, we think that it's being boastful or proud.
Yeah, and it's actually almost a form of pride to not be willing to take credit for something that you did. It's almost like,
amen.
You're trying to be too humble. You're not willing to actually accept the praise that someone's giving you, which in itself, yeah, right, is a form of pride.
Oh, and going back to number five, and make a gift seem like a curse, we also do that, like, but like in another way, like, rather than like boasting like, oh yeah, like my construction business is really taking off, we'll just simply say like, oh, we're so busy. Like, yeah. It's totally a thing,
yeah,
that Mennonites do. Totally.
Totally true.
All right, move on to number three, Ruben.
All right, okay. number three. Thanks for plowing the snow off my driveway, Bob.
Oh yeah, no problem. I wasn't even going to do that, but it just so happened that right when I was going past your house, I happened to just kind of slip off the road. I hit a drift too fast, and I just like drove right into your driveway, and I got stuck. And in the process of me trying to get unstuck, I was going back and forth. And before I knew it, your whole driveway was cleared out. And then I just drove away. So that's number three of how a Mennonite diverts taking credit for something. He simply belittles the act itself by making the thanker think that he would have had to go out of his way to not do the good deed.
All right, number two.
Number two.
Wow, Bob, you look really good in a plaid shirt.
I like your shoes. And that's number two. Immediately give a compliment right back to the thanker. Just right back. Immediately find something to just give them credit for.
All right, number one.
And it's number one because I think this is like the most popular one. Like, this is the one that, like, most Mennonites do, like, a lot of the time.
Okay.
Good.
Bob, the houses you build are gorgeous.
Oh, you think my houses are gorgeous? You should see the Baptist down the road, the Baptist guy with the construction business down the road. He builds houses twice the size, and they're twice as gorgeous. Way, way better. And that's number one, drawing attention to someone else who does it better.
I forget if it was Blake or Christian last week who said that when someone gives you a thank you, like a $20 thank you, and then you just kind of shrug it off or belittle it, you take that $20 thank you and turn it into like a $5 thank you.
Yeah.
And I think that's really true. So going through these, they were very funny, Leighton. Good job.
Thank you.
Do you have anything to say just kind of wrapping up? I mean, how should we take thanks and credit, just like a maybe something that applies to all of them, or maybe one or two in particular?
I'd say across the board, applying to all of them, I would say when you don't take a compliment, number one, like you said, you cheapen it. You cheapen the $20 compliment to a $5 compliment. And in a way, it kind of almost like insults the other person that's thanking you or giving credit to you. And then and this is an even bigger one. When someone compliments you about like a gift that you have or something, like, oh yeah, that really blessed me, or like, you're really good at doing something, by degrading it and like making it seem like it's not that big of a deal, you actually almost like belittle, like, you take away credit from God, who was obviously the one who gave you that gift in the first place. Yeah, so, like, you're belittling God-given gifts. It's really sad, actually.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
That's all I have to say about that.
Well, that was a great list. You're a great podcaster, Leighton.
Thank you.
I think you have this down pat as far as how to accept credit and compliments.
Oh, okay, good.
So this last week, not last week, over July 4th week, we had some huge meetings at our church, the Midwest annual meetings, and it just so happens that it is always on the weekend of July 4th, which is just very odd. Not something I'm a fan of.
Now, is this the first year you've heard of the meetings?
To be perfectly honest, I guess I always assumed that there was something like this, but yes, it is the first year that I realized that there is a Midwest meetings.
Midwest Conference.
Midwest Conference meetings. Yeah, thank you.
Wait. Is your church a part of the Midwest Conference?
Yes.
Oh, I thought you... Okay, I didn't know that. Okay, keep going. Anyways. I honestly just didn't know it. I didn't know it.
Well, to be perfectly honest, I didn't really know it either until this weekend. No, I don't mean that in any way. I always forget what conference we're part of. I knew you always hear of the BMA, and then there are some of the conferences, and then I always forget which one we're part of.
Mid-Atlantic, Midwest, Beachy. Oh my goodness.
Again, my book would
you
be a great addition
didn't go to
here.
Bible school enough, Ruben.
Well, maybe that's true, Leighton. And it is true, Eric. Your upcoming.
You learn about all that stuff at Bible school. Like,
well,
everybody just says that.
For the record, I did go to Bible school. But you're saying you actually, that was a big topic of discussion when you were at Bible school?
Yes.
Which conference did they look down on the most?
The unaffiliated kind. Which just so happens to be where I'm from.
Oh, so you are not in a conference?
I don't think so, no.
Oh, so.
I think we'd be considered unaffiliated.
They're like Renegade Beachies or something.
Renegade Beachies.
But back onto the topic. So we had, or did you want to say something, Leighton?
No.
Okay. So we had these meetings over July 4th at our church, and there was a lot of planning that went into it. You know, we had special car parkers, we had special groundskeepers, we had a tent set up to feed all these people that were coming. And what I was mostly involved with was setting up the audio video equipment and also making it available as a live stream over the internet on our website, and it was done through YouTube, but you had to get to it from our website. And it was stressful. It was a lot of time involved and whatnot. But what I want to get at is in one of the meetings, we always ask beforehand the speaker that's going to talk, because there's, you know, a handful of different speakers. So usually either the day before or at least a session before, we try to ask, you know, hey, do you have a PowerPoint you want to display on the projectors? And you know, not many, most of them didn't have anything, but several of them did. And this one in particular, it was for Sunday morning. So Saturday night, we asked the speaker, hey, do you have a PowerPoint? And he said, yeah, I do. I'll bring it up to you in the morning before I go give my sermon. And so we're sitting there getting everything ready. And I guess what was really stressful about that week for me is that we're trying to tie to. We got some new equipment, got some new projectors, got a new video mixer, got a capture card so that we can capture the video stream that's going live that will also be displaying in our fellowship hall, so that in case there's an overflow in the main sanctuary, they can watch it out there. But part of the complexity is that we also have some projectors inside our auditorium, and those need to be different from what is being displayed in the fellowship hall, because the only thing that should be in the fellowship hall, or sorry, the only thing that should be in the auditorium is the PowerPoint, if the speaker has a PowerPoint. And in the fellowship hall, because they can't see the speaker, we need to switch back and forth between the speaker and between the PowerPoint.
Oh.
So we had some issues with that because we're trying to tie together some new equipment with some equipment that's, you know, about 10 years old. And I know it probably sounds like, oh, you just plug it in and it should work, but it was more of a hassle than that.
I'm sure.
Anyway, so Saturday night, the speaker says, I have something I want to put up on the PowerPoint, and I'll bring it up to you Sunday morning. So I'm sitting there Sunday morning where we got everything working and going after several reboots, because that's what you do. If something doesn't work right, you just reboot it and start praying. And there was a lot of prayer involved.
Unplug it, plug it back in.
Yeah.
Done.
It was more complicated than that.
Oh, okay, shoot.
But basically, okay, we're all ready to go. Got the computer fired up, ready to put his PowerPoint into the computer. And he comes over and hands me something that is not a PowerPoint type of file. It is, however, a transparency.
Oh, my goodness, no. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, we're
Did
going.
Did he have to use, like, an overhead?
Going old school.
I do think my heart skipped a beat, and there was almost in every meeting that there was sweat dripping from my forehead just because there was always so much stuff that could go wrong or was going wrong, and definitely that was the moment when I my heart did eventually skip a beat.
How did you break it to him gently that this isn't gonna work?
thankfully it was only one sheet. He had his heading and then about 4 points.
Oh, so he typed it out.
Or four verses. So I realized after I could focus again and read and realize what was going on that
through the tears.
You were done blacking
you
out.
You could read through the tears.
Yes, through the tears, I could see that, you know, this wouldn't be that difficult to quickly type up in a PowerPoint.
Now, I'm guessing you could probably say his name because I'm guessing he won't be hearing this podcast.
No, and honestly, he was a really cool guy, and he was a great speaker. In fact, he even gave us a compliment. He said he's been really impressed with the technology that we have here.
Well,
at
he should be. Literally anything is better than a projector.
Transparency.
Well, yeah, you use the projector. Yeah. Well, yeah. The what do you call the old school?
Well, don't you just call them transparency?
Because it's just like a projector with a bulb and a mirror.
Yeah.
I don't know what the official name is for those, but
you should have just held up the transparency and just held a flashlight in front of it. I got you, bro. It's all good.
It actually worked out really well. And he handled. We have a clicker for the PowerPoint slides because I had placed his title, and then when I set up each verse on its own slide, and he handled the remote like a boss. I mean, he looked like he had done it 1,000 times.
Now, a question: who was in the booth with you at that time? Who was helping you? Was it Jeff?
I think Johnny was with me.
It's probably good Kyle wasn't there. I wonder what his reaction would have been.
He was outside of the booth, and I do remember I made eye contact right when he came up. I made eye contact with a couple of people, and it was just that moment of, you know, everything kind of slows down a little bit. But we made it through, and it actually worked out really well.
Now, another funny note too with these meetings, I remember you saying that you need to make audio CDs for people that are requesting the sermons.
Yeah,
while they're also available for download from the World Wide Web.
Yeah, see, they could have. You could hire a kid that's probably within 10 minutes of your house. You could probably pay someone. You could post it on Craigslist and say, hey, I'll pay you $15 if you come over, download this. I don't know what it is. It's the zip file on this website that supposedly has these sermons. I don't understand it, but I'll pay you $15 if you come over, download it, and burn it onto a CD. And any 15-year-old kid would be happy to do that.
So instead you have to make the CDs and mail them out to people that request them.
Yeah. Hmm. And there was a handful. Yeah.
So it's like generations are colliding.
Yeah. Yeah, that, do you have any? Yeah, that's all I had as far as the meetings and everything.
What? Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that we do have a new segment that we're going to start doing, and it is, I was going to call it, Do You Think It's True? And then go into saying this thing. But you guys said it should be something different.
Fact or fiction?
But okay, well, okay, fine. Fact or fiction, and we would have liked to have some reverb, but our producer went had dinner plans with his grandparents.
Whoa, did he go AWOL?
He went AWOL. He gets one little invite to go out for dinner, and he is gone.
Ruben, you better watch it, because you give an inch and you take a mile.
Yeah.
Before you know it, he's just going to be taking random trips down to Arkansas to see his cousin in BF.
He better not. He better not. So, fine. Fact or fiction? This man walked up to me this past weekend and tells me that that there are these things in, I forget which state, but somewhere in the northern Midwest, towards the western part, like in Minnesota and maybe Wisconsin, maybe even a little bit farther west than that, maybe in the Dakotas, there are these covered wagon trains. And supposedly, you take a trip on what would have been like the Oregon Trail, you know, when you're getting...
Oregon, Ruben, not Oregon.
I can say Oregon if I want to. The Oregon Trail in a covered wagon, and these people flock to the this place and take a literal covered wagon out west.
So they live like pioneers.
They live like pioneers. They relieve themselves in a hole in the floor in the wagon.
Why wouldn't they do it outside the wagon?
Because it's moving.
Oh, it's moving. Okay.
It's a portage, John.
And supposedly the Amish flock to these places.
Oh my goodness.
Now are you asking if it's true if this guy said it
or no, do you think that's true? Do you think that's true?
I would think so.
Yeah, I think so too.
Okay. I did look it up a little bit on the website. This and yeah, it does look like there's a website that you can sign up and go on these trips. So if you're feeling like your life is too cushy and you would like to experience what it was like to go on the Oregon Trail.
Now, did you say
okay,
the Amish
there is no
do this?
Way. There is no way that it's like actually like how it was back then. Because they had to deal with like diseases and like
Indians
starving.
And scalping Indians.
Indians. Yes.
Well, he also told me that, the one time it was, I forget his exact words, but the one time the food wagon tipped over, and he didn't go into detail, but made it sound like that was a problem to overcome.
Did they start eating each other?
Yeah, it's like, and next, like, if you enjoyed this tour, come with us next summer on the Daughter Party Tour.
We'll be taking some high mountain passes in wintertime.
But yes, I guess it is true, and I guess if you're into that sort of thing, just do some web searches for covered wagon trail or covered wagon train. There look to be two popular sites that popped up for that. We'll try to make this segment more fact or fiction esque in the future.
Now, did he say that a lot of Amish enjoy this, or
yeah,
is that something you said? Okay,
yeah.
Okay. Because I imagine that would make sense, though, because they come home and they're, like, in the lap of luxury. They're like, oh, my word, this is insane. We have running water and a, you know,
a toilet.
Yeah.
They go on this thing, like, they go, like, Amish people, like, go on this tour, and, like, they just, like, think that this hole in the wagon is just such a great idea that they, like, do it in their buggies then. Like, once they get home, they start just cutting holes in their buggies.
Oh, yeah. Eric, I wanted to ask you just for like a mechanic tip for us today. Just one quick mechanic tip.
After the break.
Okay. We're going to take a little break. Layton's got to go soon. Layton, actually, you take your own break, Eric. And we'll keep on talking a little bit about what Layton's got going. You said you have to be heading out here at 5 o'clock, your time. You have big plans tonight?
Me?
Yes.
Yes.
Can you...
We were supposed to leave at 5, and then I told them I have to record a podcast. So if we could we push it off to, like, 5:15? And then I was approached by one of the women, and it was like, why can't you make it to this thing here? Da-da-da-da-da. Like, why do you need 15 extra minutes? I was like, well, I need to get ready. I was like, well, but what do you have going on, like, before that. I was like, well, okay, once a week I do this podcast thing with my cousin. And we usually record from 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock on Monday evenings.
Ugh. Did that satisfy her?
Yeah, it seemed to. But actually, I'm like not as interested in what I'm going to be doing. I'm more interested in how Luke and Aaron's wedding was.
We could talk a little bit about that. Obviously, Eric and I were in the bridal party. It was one thing that was great about it, and this is just how I think probably most single men view weddings that have part in the weddings. One thing that was great about it is that the taking pictures part only took about 20 minutes, 15 minutes probably.
Yeah, I was very impressed. The bridal party pictures went really fast, very well. Yeah,
If we'd be filling out a grading card, they would have gotten A+ as far as time spent taking pictures.
Exactly. Yes.
From us, yes. Our perspective, obviously. We had a little scare with the AC that wasn't working immediately, and it was getting really, really hot. But then that kicked in. The Lord answered prayers, and it actually wasn't. Yeah, it was actually pretty deep, pretty cool, temp wise. So that.
Okay. So wait, who is the best man?
Louis Miller.
What?
Louis Miller.
His cousin.
Cousin of Johnny and the groom.
I don't even know that guy. Like, I thought that I knew Luke. Like, kind of ish. And I don't even know his best man.
Ugh. Well, if you would have been here, you know, maybe you would have got to meet some of Luke's, the other side of Luke.
The other side of Luke, his better half.
But no, I don't know, Eric. What else? What more was there? I mean,
yeah, it was a very nice ceremony. It was. I'm not even sure how long it was. The bridal party stood for the entire ceremony. Yeah. It felt longer, at least for me, than it actually was. It was tough standing up there in one spot. But
There was a scare because we had gone through recital four times in rehearsal. We had gone through the rehearsal. We'd gone through it four times.
Recital.
Yeah.
You guys were playing piano, were you?
Close. We'd gone through the rehearsal four times, and then when the wedding was happening, right in the middle, right after their vows, all of a sudden, Aaron, the bride, breaks rank and totally shocks Luke and the rest of the party. We're not sure what's happening, but she was supposed to – the parents were supposed to walk up to pray with the couple. Instead, she grabs Luke and – whispers something to him and starts leading him down the stairs as if they're going to walk out of the aisle.
And she kind of has to pull him down the steps because he's not sure what to do.
Yeah. it felt like she was ready to walk down the aisle, you know, as if they had been presented as the couple. But instead, she walked over to a piano that was around the corner and played a song for Luke. And it was
really nice.
It was an awesome song.
It was pretty cool that she did that.
Did she sing with it?
No, she did not sing. But if you didn't know the other side of Luke, maybe you didn't know this either, but Aaron actually goes to college for music.
Oh, okay.
And specifically for piano, so not necessarily the singing part of it.
Oh, okay.
But other than that scare, everything else went according to plan.
You could tell Louis wasn't sure which way he was supposed to be facing. Yeah, he almost like circled around because he always had to be facing certain ways at certain times, and he wasn't sure what to do. So, but no, it went really well. It was a very nice moment.
Cool.
It was. I'm sure there's going to be some pictures on the Facebook you can check out later.
Hashtag Aaron and Luke 2015.
Yeah, you saw that, I guess, obviously.
Yeah, it was all over Instagram and Facebook.
Okay, are you ready, Eric? We didn't take an official break. Are you ready for your mechanical tip?
Oh, yes, I have a very small car tip. It involves the cabin air filter. This is AC season, so if you're... You have poor airflow out of your vents, or you notice a smell or a musty smell, make sure and have your cabin air filter checked, because a lot of people forget about it. And some cars aren't equipped with them, but a lot of them are, and it keeps pollen and dust, you know, out of your car, and so it's actually good for your health, you know, because mildew and stuff can build up on this.
So that could be the reason for a smelly vehicle.
Yes, if your vents smell bad, it definitely could be due to the.
I bet that might cabin be my, that might be the problem. I just got a whole bunch of air fresheners.
Is that also the stuff that like? That holds in the smoky smell if, like, a previous owner was a smoker.
No, this is just in front of your evaporator, a filter that filters the air.
Where would you look for it? Typically, where would you look for it? Pop the hood?
some of them are outside and some of them are in the dash, and they're usually, some of them are hard to change because sometimes you have to take stuff apart. Some are behind the glove box, and not all vehicles have them. So
is it something that normally, if you would get your oil changed at like Mass Service or just wherever, is that something that normally would get checked or changed?
Not normally, no, unless it's very easy to access and okay. you can quickly look at it, but not normally. It's not a routine maintenance thing.
That is a good tip. See, that's stuff that I never would have thought of or even knew existed. So the cabin air filter?
Yeah.
Okay. Very good.
Ruben, I'm looking forward to you coming down and visiting me next weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, I'm looking forward to it as well.
Good. Wait, you sound like disappointed.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
No, I'm excited about, and in fact, I guess I should ask you this. When would be the best time to arrive?
It feels like we could talk about this off the air. Thursday would be great. If you could arrive Thursday.
Thursday, late night?
Yeah.
Because we'll be working Thursday.
Oh, okay, that's fine then. my last shift that I'm actually working ends 2 o'clock Friday. 2 o'clock Friday afternoon.
Okay.
So I'm free from Friday afternoon till Monday morning.
Okay.
Or Monday afternoon.
All right. I'm looking forward to it as well. And I think we will record a podcast there. Kyle's going to be along, so we'll have an Arkansas podcast going. And then I will deliver the microphone to you, Leighton. And then from here on out, Leighton should be sounding nearly as good as Eric and I do in the studio.
Nearly.
Well, there's still the internet issue to worry about.
And your voice internet. Itself, but...
I did have
my voice is always great. But anyways, keep going.
I did have some feedback from a gentleman talked to me yesterday, and said that, he enjoys listening to the podcast, and said he usually saves them up for when he is traveling. And he said he typically, wherever he normally travels, takes about 12 hours. So I didn't ask him, but it sounded like he saves up enough podcasts so that he can just listen all the way through.
Wow.
I'm sure that's not the case.
I've got some
that'd
other
be like
fact
half,
or fiction.
That'd be half a year of podcasts.
Oh, my goodness.
That'd be six.
There is
12
a woman here who is a mother. She has kids, okay? And she said that even her kids enjoy listening to it, ooh. Listening to our podcast. So, like, we're actually, like, Ruben,
yes.
We're raising kids.
They'll be like, they'll ask them, you know, what they listened to growing up. You know, some people will say Adventures in Odyssey. Some people will say, what are some other? And then some people will say the French Press.
Car Talk.
Car Talk with Eric.
Yep.
All right. Well, let's wrap it up then. Leighton, what is our word of the day?
The word of the day is, it's not going to be a word. It's going to be a name. Bob is the name of the day.
All right. Hey, thank you guys for listening. You can find the French Press Podcast online, frenchpresspodcast.com. You can also like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Google+, and we're not on Instagram, so don't try that, but the other places. Thanks again, Leighton, for joining us, and I look forward to seeing you this weekend.